Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 22. I was a younger brother. Younger brothers don't get all the advantages. My older brother got to sit in the front seat with my mom. He got to have the bigger room. He got to choose first a lot. There were many things that really sucked about being the little brother, but equally true, there was one thing that rocked. I had a slightly bigger version of myself going through life just a few years ahead of me, a sort of clone, if you will, who I could watch in the person of my older brother get into all kinds of trouble so that I could learn from his mistakes. Sometimes, it felt like he was my experiment set loose into the world that I could learn from, almost as if it was that first life in a video game and I could have a do-over by watching him. There were times I thought, man, I'm definitely not going to do that. And I dodged many a bullet that way. I admired him to be sure, but there were times I had the advantages of being the little brother and avoiding those mistakes. Our next king, Ahaziah, reigned in the place of Jehoram, the guy who leaked his intestines all over the floor. And you would have thought Ahaziah would have learned to dodge some of the same bullets, but as we learned, he had somebody leading him astray. Verse 1, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place. For the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor in doing wickedly. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as the house of Ahab had done. For after the death of his father, they were his counselors to his undoing. He even followed their counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to make war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead. And the Syrians wounded Joram, and he returned to be healed in Jezreel the wounds that he had received at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, son of Ahab, in Jezreel, because he was wounded. Now, Omri is mentioned in this passage. Omri was one of the kings of Israel, and this is one of the consequences of the alliances that we've read about up to this point. You see, when you intermarry with the pagan kings, you inherit their family, and they get a bit of power. Here we see that Athaliah, the hag from Israel, was pulling the puppet strings on young Ahaziah. She encouraged him to ally himself further with Israel, adopt their pagan practices, and in the end, it cost him everything. Rather than learning the lessons from those who went before him, he continued to pursue paganism, hoping it would give him a different result, like his intestines wouldn't come out of his butt. You know, the older you are in Christ, the more you've observed families and people who look like they had it all together on the outside. You learn quickly, however, that nobody does. And the more you're in ministry, the more you come to learn that everyone eventually comes to you seeking help. You learn about people's lives falling apart behind the scenes, despite the front they may have kept up. Keeping up appearances can only last so long when you got a squirrel loose in your pants. Eventually, you're going to start doing the freakazoid dance. And that's why Proverbs asks you, can you hold hot coals in your lap without getting burned? The answer to that rhetorical question is, of course not. No one can. Not even you. Yet everybody thinks they're the exception to the rule. Like I said, after being in ministry so long, you start to see a pattern emerging as clear as the book of Chronicles, that those who think they can strike out like the older brother with different results find themselves reinforcing the same lesson to all of us younger brothers out there. But God is still the father in this picture and made it possible to preserve a king named Joash who would start off right, as we'll see in the next chapter. Let's draw out some lessons from this chapter and see what we can learn. Number one, do you have a mentor? Athaliah was a terrible mentor for Ahaziah. Had he had the right mentor, he would have turned out differently according to the passage. After all, we're told that he went astray because of the counsel of the people that he had surrounded himself with. What about you? From a young age, I've always sought out people that could mentor me. Older people further along in the faith than I was. Older brothers, so to speak. People that could tell me, hey, this is how I've sought the Lord, these are the mistakes I've made, and this is what I can tell you. Now, you have to be careful who your mentors are. The first mentor I chose was my youth pastor. No, scratch that, back up. It was a gentleman that brought me to Christ. Now, he's a little bit older than I was, and he was safe, always make sure that the people that you're going to be mentored by are safe. There are people in ministry that predate on others, and you should never be alone with anyone, especially if you're a minor and they're an adult. Hang out with couples. Learn from them as fathers, as husbands, as wives. That was how I spent time with my youth pastor, who mentored me for years. By watching him interact with his family in his home, I got to see who he really was, and what I saw has impacted me to this day. From there, I chose my pastor. Now, understand that as a young man in high school, I wanted to serve God. And I remember one day, in prayer, the Lord putting on my heart, "Go and serve your pastor." I didn't know what that looked like. So I turned up at the church, and I asked the pastor, "Hey, I don't know what I can do for you, but if there's anything, let me know." And I volunteered, "Hey, I'd like to buy you lunch. Can I go get lunch for you today?" Well, I wasn't kissing butt. I was simply trying to serve as best I could. And I've learned if you'll serve a man of God or a godly person, guess what? They'll serve you in return. And what's amazing to me about this is we actually find this pattern of discipleship all throughout the New Testament. In fact, the system of rabbis and disciples was based on this very concept, that the rabbi would be served by the disciples, and the rabbi in turn would disciple them and pour into them who he was. In this way, there was a symbiotic relationship, not a parasitic one. Proverbs tells us that he who walks with the wise will himself become wise. Equally, Paul quotes another proverb, "Bad company corrupts good morals." Now, it's important to know that you must surround yourself with people you want to become like. Because guess what? That will automatically happen. The people you choose as your friends will rub off on you. They'll get in your head. You'll start to become like them. I'm not suggesting for one second that you only pick perfect people as your friends. But pick people you admire to spend time with. Because what'll happen when you do is they'll rub off on you and they'll get in your head and you'll begin to change and to transform and be discipled by them simply by spending time with them as Jesus spent time with his disciples. That's the encouragement I'd give you today. Always make sure that somebody is mentoring you. Not only is it biblical, but it's a pattern I've followed my entire Christian walk, and it is never, ever let me down or steered me in the wrong way. Take a lesson from Ahaziah. Make sure that you surround yourself with older brothers who lead you to godliness rather than the opposite.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.